Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors convene in open session. Let's see. Rick Dean, would you lead us in the flag salute?
Already.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chuck Crabtree.
Yes, sir. Let's bow our heads.
Thank you.
Gracious, merciful, loving Creator, we begin our meeting today asking you to dwell in our hearts. You who are kind to us, may we be kind to each other. You who are a God of justice, may we appreciate and value justice today. You who make the universe better because you live here, may we make this community better because we live and serve here. We praise your name and thank you for being such a wonderful, loving, humble servant. And we pray that will be our attitudes today. And as a young man said so many years ago, God bless us, everyone. Amen.
Chaplain?
Yes, sir.
Could you, in honor of Pearl Harbor Day, my dad being a career veteran, and all the veterans out there, say something about Pearl Harbor for us?
Yes. Father in heaven, we think of the experience at Pearl Harbor. So many of us have friends and relatives that were forced into that horrible experience. And we thank you for the commitment and the love and the self-discipline and the sacrifice that went into that day. We thank you for the men who and women who persevered and assured us of freedom and fought slavery and fought tyranny. And we thank you that we can be here this morning free, enjoying each other's company in an atmosphere of delight as we think of the wonderful people who have served us in the past. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Roll call.
All righty. Supervisor Chris.
President Person.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
Here.
Supervisor Howe.
Here.
Supervisor Ogren. And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
And just a quick memo. Let's see, the board will be convening today as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District, Siskiyou Power Authority, County Service Area 4, and receives no additional compensation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Move to the consent agenda. Any items to be pulled from the board?
You have none approved, none pulled?
I'm going to pull F.
You can pull, okay.
F is in Frank.
F is in Frank.
Thank you.
And I would move consent agenda with item F accepted.
Second. Motion is a second, Wendy.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. The reason I pulled this is I was absent during the use permit hearing, and I don't feel it's appropriate for me to...
You guys got your sound on?
Yes.
Yes? Yeah,
is that better?
Better.
You have my ass hearing.
Common complaint, nobody can ever hear me for some reason. I pulled F because I was not here for the hearing. I was absent during that. I am going to abstain from voting on this because I wasn't present for the discussion. So we're looking for a motion.
I will make that motion.
And that's the recommended motion, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
All second.
I have a motion and a second, Wendy.
Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Abstain.
Thank you.
I'm going to make an announcement to the public online. Common complaint is you can't hear me. I want to assure folks that we've done everything in our power here in the chamber to fix the issues, and other than the one we just had, that's something different. It seems the feedback I get from people that are online listening to the board is you can hear very, very good if you call in on Zoom on your laptop or on your home computer. But there's some kind of an issue with the phone lines and the transmissibility of the chambers here that's beyond our control. So if you are having that trouble and you do have a computer at your disposal, I recommend that you log in on the computer and your audio will be much better. Okay. Then I'm going to go to presentations from the public. It's time slots for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair, and comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. There's going to be another time to comment on redistricting as soon as we take that up next. So I guess if you want to speak during that time, you can speak now. It really doesn't matter to me.
Through the chair.
Yeah.
I would urge those who wish to speak on redistricting to wait until that's on the agenda. It's a publicly noticed hearing, and it's better for purposes of putting it in the record.
Okay. I hope you all concur with that on the redistricting. I do have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in-house on redistricting, it looks like. If you have a comment online, raise your hand by pressing *9 on your phone or letting us know that you want to speak at this time on public comment.
Seeing one online?
Let's see, a couple up there?
Yes, there's a couple. Go ahead. Nick Jocelyn, is your time to speak?
Good morning.
Battery 70%.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Where will consent agenda item F go now? That's all I had.
It was approved.
It was approved.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. The next caller.
Vicki Bolden, is your turn to speak?
Good morning.
Good morning. I am having difficulty hearing you. I wanted to be sure this is the time to speak about the redistricting.
If you'd like to wait until I do public comment on that item, we can do it then.
Yes, I will wait until then. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay.
See none online.
All right. Any other general comments, and anyone in the chamber wish to speak
it's on 15B. It's down the way.
Okay. Please come forward. Good morning, Susan.
Yes. Susan Wallace from KRCE. I'm looking at 15B, and it's early, I know that. I understand there's some talk around about the Sheriff's Department taking over code enforcement, which would be a good thing. We have a lot of people out there that you need some protection to. Even we go out and choose the trees in some of those areas and to enforce the issue of cleaning up after the marijuana grows and that. We have the same problem with the dog problem, guys going out unarmed and facing some of these dogs that would eat you alive anyway. So some of these issues are a problem. The other thing that happened, and I'm not quite sure why, because we had somebody plop on the county road and It wasn't code enforcement, but it was encroachment. Allowed them to stay there. Now, this is a county road within the subdivision, and we've had a heck of a time getting them out of there. Encroachment gave them an okay to stay there, camped on the road with all kinds of crud on the road, and we didn't have legs to stand on because they weren't really on their property. They were on county property. So we fought that quite a bit. We don't want those kinds of things to happen again if we can possibly get by that. So those are the only two things. I think with the code going under the sheriff's office, we probably have a unified front going out, and they are working with us. We're working hard out there to clean it up as well. So it's nice to have partners. Thank you.
Thank you. Any others? Okay. Next item is redistricting. I'm going to start with county council before I have clerks come up and start this process. One of the things that I'm...
Through the chair.
Yeah.
So I have accused myself from this item in the past and will continue to do so today because of the nature of the boundary line so that our the protocol that's required to draw those lines. So if the CAO would text me, I don't know how long you think this will be, but I'll be waiting to hear from you when you want me to return.
Got it.
Okay, I'm going to start over again. It's taken me some time to figure out really what the process and protocols are for redistricting, having never been through it as a board member and having to try and lead it. So I thought for the public's education on this and for the board's edification as well, I would have county council outline pretty much the process today, what to expect, where we could end up, what the off-ramps are, on-ramps, and those kinds of things, and maybe some of the deadlines that this board is up against in the coming weeks and why it's such an urgent thing before us today. And so I'm going to turn that to council, and then I'll come back to our county clerk to lead the discussion on redistricting.
Sure. I have just a brief summary that, and I spoke with Laura, and we put together kind of a succinct summary, we're hoping, so people understand what's happening here. It happens every 10 years. Counties must redraw their boundaries or supervisorial districts so that they have substantially equal population and comply with the Federal Voting Rights Act of 1965. The Fair Maps Act and new state laws as a result of AB 849 and AB 1276. The county has contracted with districting partners to assist in this endeavor. The county has conducted public hearings on redistricting since early September to solicit citizen input regarding the redistricting process. Public hearings have been held before the board on September 7th, October 5th, October 19th, November 9th, and November 16th. Additionally, an afternoon public hearing was conducted by staff on September 21. In creating a new district boundary, redistricting partners, which is the group with whom we've consulted, took the following into consideration, and this is dictated by state law, as well as constitutional law. Relative equal size in terms of population, so it's not geographic, it's population. Contiguous boundaries, so you don't hop and jump all over the place. Maintain communities of interest, and we maybe have some more discussion about that in a minute. And then follow city and census designated place boundaries. So these are under state law and also constitutional are the things that when redistricting takes place, we're required to take into consideration. When creating new district boundaries, redistricting partners cannot consider the residency of current office holders. Redistricting must follow the Fair Maps Act, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and various state laws. So what that means is, legally, when doing redistricting, it is not allowed to take into consideration either to benefit an incumbent or to try to hurt an incumbent. It's just not relevant to the issue under state law. The deadline to have adopted final district boundaries is December 15, which is coming up next week. If district boundaries are not formally adopted by December 15, they will be determined by the Superior Court. To my knowledge, no other county, California county, has not been able to meet the deadlines and had, as a consequence, the state courts draw the boundaries for them. And I would add, if the state courts draw the boundaries for us, it's going to be an expensive endeavor because we'll have to pay for all their consulting costs. It looks as if the process starts anew. It's a little uncertain because nobody's had to go through it, but it looks like the process starts anew and the county would be on the hook for paying those costs, which we want to avoid having already expended money with the consultants. Today on the agenda is a formal adoption of Draft Plan 2, and that was selected by the board meeting on November 16th. The board will need to vote on adopting Draft Plan 2. If that vote fails, the board can select another plan, which would be 1, 3, or 4, or make adjustments to the boundary of the draft plans. If, on the other hand, the board adopts Draft Plan 2, it's fulfilled its duty and the process is done. If another plan is selected, that be 1, 3, or 4, a public hearing will need to be continued until December 14 for a formal adoption. As I noted earlier, the final deadline to have done this is December 15. So December 14 is pushing right up against the deadline. There's also the option, if the board wished, to have a special meeting on another date. We've tracked down some dates that are available, but I'm working under the assumption that if the board decides to go for another plan, we'll set it for December 14th, but that's within your discretion.
December 15th is a hard and fast date.
That's correct, yes.
And the special meetings you're looking at would be between now and the 14th?
Correct, if you wanted to go that, if you wanted to do that. It's not necessary, but it would give you an element of safety because you have an additional meeting.
So we don't have a clue as what the Superior Court would charge us to do that.
I would say I'm not going to say we don't have a clue, but we don't know what they would charge us. I think I've heard estimates, very rough estimates, between $75,000, maybe in the range of $75,000. I think the consultant we hired is $45,000. And then I figured there'd be some additional costs.
Sure.
And I would note, just to complete the thought, if it ends up that the board does not adopt a plan, we have 5 days to petition the court. We're obligated to do that past the December 15th deadline to petition the court to have them do it. But it's probably not what we would want to do, in my view.
If we vote today and we do not have a plan at the end of the vote, do we have time to deliberate and vote again? Or do we have to go to a special meeting after that? How does that work?
You would have to do a special meeting so as to have a final plan at the December 14th meeting.
So we only get one chance today?
No.
That's my question.
We'll get to propose another map if the
first one fails. Yeah, maybe I misunderstood. Yeah, if Plan 2, which is what was advanced at the last board meeting, is not passed today, you will have the opportunity to, anybody here, to make a motion to adopt a different plan.
Right.
And if that passes, it will be brought back, just like Plan 2 was brought back today. That plan, that other plan you guys choose to advance will be brought back either at a special meeting or at the December 14th meeting.
Not that I want to go there, but there's only four of us. So I can see 2-2 going endless, and how long do we go through that process?
That's exactly my
Because
point.
When we say 2-2, that project or that motion comes, ends.
That's correct, yes.
Can we revisit that same, if we try again? I mean,
Yes, you can.
Okay.
We'll have, as long as we continue the hearing.
I'm assuming that if that were to happen, we would have, someone would have to compromise, is what I'm looking at.
That's fine.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Mr. Kiernan, we've mentioned up here several times how jealous we are of the 2011 board because they didn't have to redraw the lines. So I don't know if Laura was going to talk about it or you, because some people have said we're trying it on purpose, but in reality, all of us have mentioned we'd rather just keep the lines where they are. And what the North Laura's talking about, or you are, but if someone could discuss that aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the sentiment expressed that, well, if you had your druthers, you just keep things as they are. Unfortunately, that's not an option because under constitutional interpretations of one person, one vote, you have to have districts which are roughly equal in population. And so we are obligated one way or the other to have the lines redrawn, whether it be the board do it or the court do it. But somebody's going to redraw the lines.
That was my only question.
Okay. And my only comment is, I wish it were done on geographic area because of 3 million acres in my district, it's getting too big. Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Laura, County Clerk, we're going to continue. I guess we're continuing this hearing.
No, it's a new hearing.
A new one? Again?
This, okay. This is a brand new hearing.
Every day.
Brand new. Yep.
I am opening a public hearing.
Until we get it right, anyway.
And I'm not closing it until we get it right.
Good morning, Laura Bynum, County Clerk. I am just here to assist you in any way possible. I have nothing more to add with Ed's comments. I think he's covered everything in great detail, and I'll just be here to assist if needed.
Okay, we have a reading of the order.
Hey, Mr. Chair, I just had Ms. Bynum, do we have paper copies of the maps?
We do.
Okay, great. I know I'm talking with people about it, a lot of them I've walked through where the maps are, and paper's just easier for a lot of folks.
Are they in the chamber?
Mm-hmm. Not sure. Where are they at?
They're in the office.
Okay. Yeah, you think they need to be brought forward for people to see?
Through the chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator. We are leaving that to the chairman to bring forth the maps if you so choose. And thus, it would be, you know, a caucus to have folks review the maps of that, if you so choose, and the board.
Yeah, can we bring them up on the table in case we need to refer?
Sure. They are nearby.
Mr. Chair, this is a public hearing to consider adoption of the proposed resolution adopting supervisorial district boundaries based on 2020 census data. And this is following the selection of draft plan 2 on November 16th. Okay.
No, wait for Laura to come back.
Okay.
Before I ask the next question. I'm sorry, there's a legal protocol I'm following here. And so there is a presentation of the staff report today? No. Presentation of correspondence.
Yes, the board and clerk has been receiving correspondence for a while now. These are the names of people that have sent in emails or letters, hard copy letters, and some of these are duplicated, but I won't say the name twice. We've received from Loreen Miller, Jack Phillips, Rex Casalio, Susan Miller, Ryan Walker, on care of the Siskiyou County Farm Bureau, Lisa, Thomas Axler, Thomas Larson, Ruth Simpson, Martin and Lori Bishop, Samuel Craig, Richard and Susan Marshall, Siskiyou County Cattlemen's Association, Barbara Craig, Lori Mickey, Donna Farnham, Pam and Dale Cook, Mason and Sally McCoy, Sandra Dukey, Liz Bowen, Jeanette and Richard Tarantino, Craig Sharp, Jean Kilichowski, Ginger Semito, Jack Phillips, Jerry Metz, Paul and Michelle Rickey, Barbara Rodriguez, Sundari McCalian, Louise Gliotto, Michael and Thomas Souza, Janine Michelson, Mary Powell, Jenny O'Gorman, Diane Collier, Donna and Jerry Bacigalupi, Annalisa Hartwell, Mira L., Cindy Barger, and Susan and Brad Burgess. And if any came in this morning, since I headed over to the meeting, I have not received those emails as yet.
One did just come in from the career trend.
Was there another one? Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'm not sure about, I'm going to ask counsel on bullet 6 and 7. Given the fact that we just had the correspondence, what differentiates opponents and proponents' arguments under the hearing protocol from public comment?
I think they're both.
I do, but I'm just trying to strike some clarity here.
I'm sorry, you're asking what are the difference between...
What would differentiate public comment that we just heard from opponent and proponent comment? Normally, public comment is either pro or con.
I understand what you're saying. And yeah, that's an interesting question, which I've often asked myself. Let me put it this way. Public hearings require these procedures.
As
a practical matter, I don't see a big distinction between public comment and a proponent and an opponent.
Okay. So. Just clarifying for anyone listening or anyone in the chambers that feels that they're not in the right category, I wanted to address that in the hearing protocol. Is there any presentation or reports or arguments by other staff? Nope. So, I don't think I'm closing this hearing, am I?
No, that's the good.
Thank you. I'm going to bring that back to the board for discussion.
If I can.
Sure.
I might as well start off so I can just get my thoughts and words out. Ms. Pyman, did you?
I believe we were supposed to do the public comment. Talking with the council.
Oh.
Yeah, and I agree that proponent are pretty similar to public comment, but we require everyone's steps.
My mistake, sorry. Okay. Public comment. We'll go back to the public comment piece.
Thank you. That's okay.
I need some coffee here. And I need glasses too. Can you help me read that?
Oh dear. I can't make it out very well. SCCA?
Someone from SCCA.
SCCA?
I think it's the Calvinist Association.
In blue. It's not you, Sam. It's somebody else.
No. Guy or Gary? Guy or Gary, maybe?
Greg.
Greg. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
You're up.
Sorry, Greg. I couldn't read it.
The microphone, please. Thank you.
And that's Cook with a K, correct? Cook with a K?
Yes. Well, I think you got a lot of concerned citizens here today. And, we kind of got together on this and put this letter together that you guys received. And we're really concerned about this redistricting because Mike's always been a big ally to farmers and ranchers in this valley. And hopefully you guys consider a different way to go on this. And I know you're under some kind of obligation here to do something, but as a whole, to farmers and ranchers in this valley, Brandon, for the years that Mike served, we're really here. We don't want him out. We want you guys to think about something different on this thing. And we have a lot of heartfelt feelings about this whole thing. So I think probably I ask people to raise their hands here that are in support of doing the right thing here, how many would we get, guys? So, I think the letter we sent to you is pretty much what we would like you to do and what you can do. I'm not an attorney. So, anyway, I'm just speaking for the SCCA. you know, and the board, and the people in the room in the community here. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Sam, I can read yours.
Hello, my name is Sam Jackson, and I would like to read the letter we sent to the Dear Siskiyou County Supervisors. This letter is being written to the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors on behalf of the Siskiyou County Cattlemen's Association, SCCA, to express our concern regarding supervisorial redistricting. SCCA will not support any draft redistricting maps or plans which exclude current serving supervisors from the district in which they represent. As such, the SCCA cannot support the draft plan 2 or its approval by a 3-1 vote of the board on November 16th. Supervisor Michael Kopstaff has been democratically elected by the constituents of District 3 for 4 consecutive terms due to his faithful service to the Siskiyou County public. During his time as board member, Supervisor Kopstaff has played a key role in representing the ranchers and farmers of Siskiyou County. There hasn't been a major agriculture issue that's occurred in Siskiyou County that Supervisor Kopstaff hasn't been directly involved in, representing to the best of his ability the interests of the ranchers and farmers of this county. It is without a doubt that Siskiyou County agriculture will be negatively impacted if Supervisor Kopstaff is no longer able to serve or have the option to run for District 3 Supervisor. It is the hope of the SCCA that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors will re-evaluate their prior decision to adopt the draft plan 2 and instead approve a draft plan that doesn't exclude Supervisor Kopstaff from District 3. Removing Supervisor Kopstaff from the district that he has served is not only an aggravate disservice to him, but to the population of the county which he has served. Respectfully, Samuel E. Jackson, President, Siskiyou County Cattlemen's Association.
Thank you.
Next I have James
Corcoran.
Corcoran?
That's it.
But I'm going to give this one to him because it's redistricted.
Well, good morning, Supervisors.
Good morning.
I also want to speak to this issue. And my perspective is this. The voters chose a particular individual for District 3 to represent them. And if you choose an option which eliminates him from representing District 3, then you've taken away the voter's choice. And I don't think that's right. The voters should be the ones that determine who represents them. So I'm asking you to choose option 3 or option 4. And I did hear what County Council said, but there is such a thing as nullification. And you have that option. So please choose an option that gives the voters of Siskiyou County their choice. Thank you.
Sir, can I get your name for the record? I'm sorry.
Yes, it's James Corcoran.
Thank you. Thank you much.
We could hold the applause and cheering down to a minimum and make us get through this a little quicker. Next is Lorraine Miller.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Miller, and thank you.
Can I take this a little bit?
Yes, I'm on my toes. So, I'm on board with the people that have publicly spoken already in their comments about Mr. Kopstaff. You know, I'm in his district, and he was duly elected, and I think it's really hard to see that he doesn't have a vote that will affect districting when he represents District 3. And I understand what the attorney said, and that it wasn't intentional. So the other thing I want to say is I contacted everybody. I sent an email that I called everybody. And I really want to say I appreciate Mr. Chris and Ms. Ogden calling me back. I didn't expect it. Mr. Chris said, you know, I had concerns about things. And he said, go back and look at all the previous meetings, because I didn't quite understand, you know, what the attorney explained. And then in talking to Ms. Ogden, we got talking about fire, the importance of fire districting, fire mutual aid, and that there's the way she explained it to me, and the best I can understand it, is in the interest of fire safety for the different communities, that draft plan 4 looks like the optimal one. Fire is a really big deal. It has been in my life for 8 years, and supporting different councils and stuff. And so I think that that's is a really big consideration, and I hope that you'll hear her out on the research that she did, because she spent a lot of time doing it from my conversation to her, and I super appreciate it, because I didn't even consider that. And so I appreciate that. I think that there's lots of things going on in our lives right now that are going to be put before you that are challenging to make decisions. I don't think it's easy to be on any board making decisions, because you're always, you know, supposedly and committed to and oath to doing the best for the public that you're serving, and sometimes that's hard. There's there can be conflict of interest, there can be agendas, there can be really challenging things. So when looking at oaths and freedom and serving, actually serving, I hope you'll take those priorities into consideration in making decisions about this and anything moving forward. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Next, I have Tom Larson.
I want to thank each and every one of you that are here today. I'm only here in support of those that don't want the redistricting. Each and every one of you people up front support or put there by your constituents. And I'm just here to recommend you listen to your constituents and support them, because they are supporting you. And I'm against the redistricting. Short and sweet.
Thank you. Tom Nielsen.
Tom Nielsen, and I'm a rancher from the Gazelle area within Michael's district. I raise cattle along with my two sons and or two grandsons. And the process of redistricting, I understand you have to go through that every once in a while, but I'm here more to tell you the job that Michael has done for me. And he's done a really good job, probably the best supervisor I've ever seen there. He cares about the community, he cares about ag, he's pro-ag, he cares about business. And so I'm here to support him and ask you supervisors if there's anything you can do to try to keep him within his district so he can go on and keep representing us. And I'm here to tell you that I'm happy, and I think most of these other people are happy of the job he has done. And I hope if this ever happened to you people, that your constituents would come and support you the way we're trying to support Michael. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Scott Murphy.
Thank you.
Good job.
Good job.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors.
Good morning.
I guess I'm here representing Siskiyou County Cattlemen and also Siskiyou County Farm Bureau, of which I'm on both boards. The Farm Bureau, most of our Farm Bureau guys are down in Anaheim at their annual state meeting, so I kind of got elected to do chores in Scott Valley and come here. So, anyways, the Siskiyou County Farm Bureau advocates for agricultural producers in Siskiyou County. As you know, agriculture is a critical industry in Siskiyou County, provides an economic base for many other economic activities in the county. I'm sure you're also aware that agriculture in California and Siskiyou County faces ever-increasing regulatory pressure. In just the past few months, our agricultural industry faced both unprecedented water curtailments and historic wolf predations. These new challenges come at the same time that fuel, fertilizer, and feed costs are at record high levels. In light of these pressures, it is essential that Siskiyou County agricultural producers continue to have a strong voice in local government. The Siskiyou County Farm Bureau believes that Plan 3 or Plan 4 provides the greatest continuity for Siskiyou County. Under these plans, the agricultural ground lost by District 4 would shift into District 1, where residents would have common interests with existing agricultural producers around Montague and Grenada. Likewise, District 4 would retain an important and historical rural influence from those landowners south of Yreka. Plan 3 and 4 both result in the least disruption of services to the community at large and retain the appropriate character of each district. Those characters are you guys. We urge the Board of Supervisors to revisit the previous decision and rescind the action taken by rejecting Plan 2 and voting in favor of Plan 3 or 4. I'm not saying you guys are characters. I'm saying you guys are the ones that we are characterizing there. So. Anyways, thank you so much.
Are there any other comments from anybody in the house? Going once. All right, I'll turn online. Are there any callers online that wish to speak to this issue? Please let us recognize you at this time.
We have one hand up online.
Okay.
S. Quinn, it's your turn to speak.
Hi, my name is Scott Quinn. I'm the director of Tribal Lands Management with the Kudik Tribe. And I apologize, I got you some comments late today, but I'll go ahead and read those. But first, I want to start out by giving my support for Supervisor Kopseff. I live in his district there in Lake Justina, and my family lives in McLeod. And, you know, I see Mike at a lot of events. I was on the fair board for a couple of years, and he always supported our efforts there. And see him at a lot of different things in McLeod. I just know he gets out there, and I just support whatever you guys need to do to make sure that he's still a supervisor district there. So as far as the letter, I'll just go ahead and read it. Thank you for the opportunity to provide you with comments regarding Siskiyou County's supervisorial redistricting 2021. Multiple communities of interest exist in Siskiyou County. The Fair Map Act defines communities of interest as a population that shares common social economic interests that should be included within a single district for purposes of its effective and fair representation. Keeping communities of interest together should be a high-ranking criteria in the districting process. To comply with this intent, the Kudik Tribe proposes the creation of a mid-Klamath Salmon River community of interest and supervisorial district. This would help create a district that shares common social and economic interests specific to the river and the forest resources that surround us. Section 21500 of the California Elections Code states, to the extent practical, the geographic integrity of any local neighborhood or community of interest shall be represented in a manner that minimizes division. A community of interest is a population that shares common social and economic interests and should be included within a single supervisorial district for purposes of its effective and fair representation. Communities of interest do not include relationships or political parties, incumbents, or political candidates. The code that states supervisorial districts shall be drawn to encourage geographical compactness so that those nearby areas of population are not bypassed in favor of more distant populations. A large part of the current District 5's population is within Scott Valley, where community interests are more aligned with traditional agriculture than downriver interests. So just in short, I just urge you to consider the adoption of a district which recognizes the Downriver community of interest. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller.
Vicki Golden, it's your turn to speak.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Thank you. You know, I admit freely I wasn't following this. I'm not up to speed on all of the previous meetings that you've held. However, looking at the minutes, I do see that there was the desire to keep the boundaries as much as possible as they are. And that the vote that was taken last time on this plan may have been taken in haste. So, because it's my birthday today, and because I value Will Rogers' comments often, he stated good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. And I can tell you, in my 77 years, I have had many bad judgments, bad decisions, and I have experience. And I hope that those of you who are listening today and who made the decision to vote on Plan 2 will reconsider and know that that's just part of the process of learning and aging, and there's no crime in making decisions that you have to revisit. I think you've heard beautifully from the people who've spoken previously. I personally have never had any interaction one-on-one with Supervisor Kotze. However, I do think that it is very clear that the people whom he has served feel very comfortable with him, and there is just something unfair, it feels, just basically unjust in not considering their opinions. I value the comments that were made. I also have to state, just procedurally, I feel there is some problem. When you look at these maps online, which I couldn't even find until just now, a friend sent me the maps. I couldn't find it. I searched for about half an hour this morning. Now, I'm not excellent at searching on the county's website, but I think it should be right up front, and I think that there should have been streets. It's virtually meaningless to see a map with no boundaries indicated. And so I think that that should have been available to the public, and I hope it will be before you hopefully find another plan. I don't know, I can't tell you which plan I would prefer, but clearly not the one that was chosen last time because of all the comments and considerations. I do think that that would be extremely important, and I ask that you make that available to us by at least an overlay. That should be possible. I'm sure you have IT technicians who are very capable of doing graphs that will show us exactly what those boundaries are, because they're meaningless to me. It just looks like a five-year-old puzzle that you put together and has no reality for me at all. So I thank you for reconsidering this, and know that you'll do your very best to make a decision that is just and fair. Thank you.
Thank you. See another caller.
Richard, is it your turn to speak?
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Rich Marshall, Marshall Ranch in Scott Valley, and I'd like to say that I support many of the comments that have already been made, and vote to say that the board needs to do the right thing here and rescind their previous action and instead institute Plan 3 or 4 to protect the citizens' rights in this matter and continue with the kind of supervision we've come to expect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other callers online?
Showing one more.
All right.
Nick Jocelyn, it is your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Hi, Nick Jocelyn, Mount Shasta, California. I have been following this issue all along, and I'd just like to thank the redistricting partners for the job they've done, because it's not an easy task. I played around with the web app quite a bit and tried to draw lines myself, considering a lot of the area. Trying to stick to roads, I didn't know where I do not know where any supervisors live, so and it is not easy to do, and to stay within the 10% population so that the plans will be legal, it's quite a difficult task, so I'd like to thank them for the work they've done. And I also did some research when it seemed that Plan 2 in my district cops up out of his district, and it does in fact happen other places, and it has happened other places. So we aren't in a unique situation. And I think the effort is to really try to make the decision more of a non-emotional decision. The fact that the county's populations are evolving is probably the important part to remember, and that this process is really bound by some tight confines. And it's really not an easy task. So I'm speaking in favor of the second option. Thank you.
Thank you. I see a couple more hands.
Alice Rogers, it is your turn to speak.
Hi, my name's Alice Rogers, and I'm calling in from Mount Shasta. As I'm listening this morning, I hear a lot of really strong support for Michael Cobseth. Sounds like he does his job really well, and that's great. Unfortunately, it has nothing to do with the issue at hand. This process specifically states it is not to help or hinder any specific supervisor or candidate. That's illegal. It's not legal. You can't make a decision based on that. He's not being taken out of office. He has been voted in. That's fine. He would serve to his term, and then he could run in the district where he lives, or he could move to a different district. That's his choice. We don't make the choices based on that. We paid money to the redistricting partners, Siskiyou County taxpayer money, to hire to get the best maps. They came forward with those maps, and then Supervisor Cobseth was worried about, quote unquote, getting whacked from his district. That may be happening, but that's not what they consider. They consider what's best for the county. Now we're talking about spending, if I heard right, up to $75,000 more to do something different if they change this. It's a waste of money. Let's go with the plans that were based on legal guidelines, either one or two. Two has already been picked. That's within the deadline. We can make the deadline with the state, and that makes the most sense. Thank you so much.
Next caller.
Robin Richards, it's your turn to speak.
Thank you. My name's Robin Richards, and I'd like to say I've attended several of the redistricting meetings, and I have reviewed the detailed maps, which were on the website, a little bit difficult to find, but they did provide street-by-street information, which was really helpful. I'd like to make 4 points regarding the redistricting. One, I really do appreciate the action taken at the last meeting to set up legitimate redistricting boundaries, and number two is one of those. I think we need to continue to follow the recommendations based on the paid consultants that you hired that are following the rules associated with redistricting, because it's important to do that. We need to make sure that we're maintaining community of interest, city boundaries, and not to gerrymander. And if you look at the map in detail, you'll see it really does look gerrymandered if you go to 3 and 4. And so that's why I'm recommending that you stick with either 1 or 2, but 2 is an okay one. And we need to get this going. We have elections coming up. And I think the point was made both by county council and others that the existing homes of the supervisors unfortunately are not taken into account for this. This is not about that. This is about redistricting based on population, contiguous communities of interest, city boundaries, and those are the things that we need to maintain. So I would urge you to continue to support Plan 2. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller.
Kathleen Heller, it is your turn to speak.
Yes, I'm here. I am a Siskiyou County resident for a long time, and I appreciate all the comments made so far. I feel like like the cops have just been able to serve the interests of all of the community interests, and that's a diverse field between agriculture and all the other things that we're seeing this time. I would vote for him if he was in my district, but I think it's actually trying to undo the will of voters, and I think it's unrealistic to ask the supervisor to move, to keep serving where he is really serving. I totally appreciate him. I've heard there was a good plan three. I couldn't find it. I tried to read it before. I'm sorry. I don't like wasting money either. But I think, especially at a time when districting is getting really bad, you know, all over the country, we shouldn't go for a really good sort of person who serves our county. That's all I have to say. I'd like to see number three if I have to see it blind. But I think we should look a little deeper. Thank you for even caring. Thanks.
Thank you. Next caller.
Catherine, it is your turn to speak.
Hi, my name is Catherine, and I live in Bede in Supervisor Kalsup's district. I would like to say that the voters elected these supervisors to serve four-year terms, and four-year terms only. They did not elect them to manipulate the redistricting process to benefit their own political ambitions or their supporters. That's it. Thank you.
Catherine, real quick, can I get your last name?
Chilton. S-H-E-L-T-O-N.
Thank you.
Next caller.
Tom, it is your turn to speak.
Can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Tom McKelly, Fort Jones, California. I believe the Constitution, Article 4, guarantees us a Republican form of government. The redistricting actually violates that. It goes by population. The one man, one vote is a pure democracy, and you will do real harm by redistricting Supervisor Kobseth out of his seat, and also will actually give them harm for a lawsuit for a challenge against the 14th Amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other callers online?
One more online. Nancy, it is your turn to speak.
Thank you. I support the adoption of Plan 2, designing a district specifically to accommodate a supervisor's residence is gerrymandering, and I'm opposed to that. Please follow the law and adopt Plan 2. Thank you.
Nancy, may I get your last name, please?
Van Susteren.
Thank you.
Anyone else online wish to speak?
Seeing none online.
Seeing none online. Anyone else present have second thoughts about wishing to speak? Okay. Before I come back to the board, are you okay? Okay. Just wondering.
Yeah. A little bit longer. We'll need a break.
Okay. All right. Come back to the board. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yeah, so I can get over with, so I can get some sleep tonight. So first of all, I did go back and I revisited all the minutes of the meetings. And so I'll start off by saying I was on the redistricting board when we did the redistricting last time. I was naive enough to think that this time was going to be just as simplistic. You know, Siskiyou County lost some residents, you know. And to be honest, speaking, I was down in Monterey, speaking with my peers, they have it a lot worse than other areas. It is a true statement that you are not supposed to single out one person and bring that into the equation. That's bringing personal deals. Supervisor Kobseth is an honorable man. I will say that thank you. I thought all of you did great representing your views. I will tell you that I had a couple what I would call unprofessional, calling into character, my character, if you will. I represent District 2, Mount Shasta, Dunsmuir. I stated in the very beginning, when I actually led the meeting, Supervisor Valenzuela suggested the boundary between the supervisors District 2 and 3 remain the same. And I think we all agreed that that's what we wanted to do, to leave the whole district the same. Looking back, that the redistricting parameters, I don't think, and this is too late, take into account the rural nature of counties. It's a bigger issue in the big cities where you move a block and you ship things. At the end of the day, I hope there's no animosity out of any and all this stuff. This is just really what should be straightforward decision making. Again, looking back at the minutes, you know, there was support for two. I will say, folks, it's really unfair to me that you show up at the 11th hour when this process, no public comment received. So I was absent on November 9th. I personally, and I was back in Washington, D.C., I was personally quite hoping and willing to take whatever decision was made, that it would have been made then, right? Because we are under a time crunch. Again, the last time we said, listen to your constituents, November 16th. I think we had 1, 2, 3, 4 supporting maps 1 or 2, no one supporting 3 or 4. Then again, no public comments received. The 16th, when we made the decision, no public comments received. I get that it's all of a sudden now important, but one of the things I wanted to say, because I hear about the A, I don't know anyone on this board doesn't support A. I've supported it since I've been on this board. Can't honestly say that I've had you support me in my district, and I'm going to use the IRWIP process as the example, but that's not... that you can't fold those kind of things as a, you know, trying to be vindictive at all. What I'm afraid of is that the look is going to be for Siskiyou County, and I've always had the fear of what Siskiyou County looks like when I go to state association out of this area. You know, we're a great group of people here. We're a state of the Jefferson mindset. I personally would be willing to spend the money to let someone else take it out of my hands so that there's no perception that I'm trying to gerrymander anything. One of the things that I think that is quite important is that I'm willing to accept whatever happens here, but I'm going to stand by District 2. One of the things I have with the maps 3 and 4 is you talk about changing, you're taking my district and adding people that associate themselves with the community of we. That district, that boundary line adjustment that I perceive moving for map 2 or 1 is people that I would consider, they have a 96067 zip code, which is Mount Shasta. If I had my druthers, I'd redraw that map. I'd take over Callahan because I love that community out there. And I'd take over McLeod because I love that community over there.
Can't have Callahan.
Yeah. And they probably don't want me. and they probably don't want me. And at the end of the day, I will tell you that if it was me, and if I could, I'd be grateful that I got redistricted out. Because it's a grind here at times, right? I mean, we're trying to do the best we can, and I hope we continue, and you will see the value that this board brings, supporting ag, as we always have. Supervisor Chris knows I've been out to Tule Lake numerous times. And with that, I'll get off my soapbox. I will stand by my decision to stay with Map 2. Thank you.
Ladies first, if you'll be on either way.
I only wanted to go first to get it off. Get it.
I'm there too.
I'll go. Notes too. Yeah. I gotta say I've lost sleep too, and I have felt angst over this for weeks and weeks. And I will pretty much preface this with the same sort of comments, which, basically I have the utmost respect and gratitude for the guidance and institutional knowledge that Supervisor Cobbseff has given us and what he brings to this board. And I appreciate all the work that he has done to support this community and protect agriculture and wildlife habitat and the economic stability of our county. With that, I have spent hours researching and discussing this topic, and I have found that it would be detrimental to fracture the continuity of the South Wairika Fire Department and the Greater Wairika Fire Safe Council. With the threat of wildland fire that is so big right now, similar fuel types, geography, weather that make sense around this area. We need to surround these specific types with the same boundary line. So breaking up those areas could potentially jeopardize grant funding, opportunities that support these fire safe councils that are going to benefit these areas. There are mutual aid agreements between South Yreka Fire Department, Yreka Fire Department, Montague, Grenada, not with Scott Valley, because there's a great big mountain range in between. I also kind of feel like with wildfires, when there's a big problem with that, the incident commanders during emergency situations, they would much prefer dealing with one supervisor than two or three. Seems like a good idea. So those would be best served by not breaking up those geographical areas. The same principles I think hold true for the Hammond Ranch Fire District. Mutual aid agreements with Cal Fire, Weed, Mount Shasta Fire Departments exist there, and funding opportunities through fire safe councils in that area, as well as the similar geography, fuel types, weather patterns also hold true for the Mount Shasta area. And I believe that the aim is to keep the greatest continuity for this county, keeping common interests such as agricultural producers and historic rural areas together in the same districts seems to make sense. And I'll hit on the same sort of thing that Supervisor Valenzuela said. We've had six public hearings. One of those was an afternoon public hearing. Nick Joslin, who you've heard speak, and I were the only two people that were on that public hearing, as well as our county clerk. We've been begging for help from the public on this, and we've heard nothing. And I don't know what I don't know, being new to this, so I would love to hear from you. And I hate to say it, but until I make a mistake, that's when I hear. And I would love to hear your input anytime. And I will always return phone calls. I will try my best to return your emails. You are my constituents, and I love to engage and hear your comments. So it disappointed me a little bit that the only time I heard from you was when you felt I made a mistake. So maybe we all can learn from that. You can help me make a better informed decision going forward. So with that, I will change my vote to Plan 4. Next.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just to back up two of the colleagues there, Supervisor Vallis, can you hear me, Mr. Cook? You can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My dad has the same hearing, so I try to remember that. You're fine.
He's not the only one.
To back up to my colleagues there, Supervisor Valenzuela was just elected president of CSAC, Association of County Supervisors, and he was elected to represent the Rural Caucus, and the Rural Caucus is agriculture mainly. So he's been a strong advocate for agriculture in Sacramento. That's why the other county, rural counties, nominated him to be their president to represent them on the CSAC. So he is representing ag down there. And then Supervisor Ogren, gave a presentation on juniper tree removal a while back. My writing style is rough, and I really appreciated Supervisor Ogren spent a good deal of time making what I said make sense. So. She's also supportive of ag. I go back and listen to recordings of meetings. If I get calls on stuff, just to get feedback and see what people heard. And on the meeting on 11/16, when we decided, we had the paper maps down there on the tables. We were walking around. As most of you know, hot mics are a bad thing for politicians. A lot of them say things or corny jokes that gets them in a lot of trouble. this time being honest to just help me out a great deal. So minute 1950 into that recording, I said, coincidentally by a hot mic, I'd like to adjust one line, I'd like to adjust a little bit. And the one I would have liked to adjust a little bit was where Kopsev lives. If we had that control, it would have been much easier. So I would have, if I could have, I would have adjusted it then. But we can't adjust it then because at the time, incumbency cannot be a factor for drawing supervisorial districts. I see the Farm Bureau supports 3 and 4. I understand Supervisor Ogren's comments on Plan 4. Based on community of interest, I can support Plan 4 because it keeps community of interest together. Now, if people say I'm doing it just to keep Michael, or just to keep Supervisor Kopsev in his district, if I could have done that, I would have done that on November 16th when the hot mic was caught. So for both sides, I'm not doing it for incumbency by any means, but based on community of interest, which is what we have to do under the Fair Maps Act, I can justify voting for Plan 4. Plan 3, the concern I have there is the Carrick subdivision is just north of Weed. It's really a subdivision of Weed. They get police services help there. They get fire services, medical services. Connecting Carrick with District 2, I don't think would be fair for either District 2 or for the Carrick division. But for Plan 4 with Hammond Ranch, makes sense. I appreciate everyone that called me. I do hope I returned everyone's phone calls. When I walked it through the maps, a lot of people, I can understand on the internet, it's hard to see the maps and understand them. But the feedback I got from people when I walked through plants, maps 3 and 4, at 1 and 2, 3 and 4, only two ladies opposed map 4. That was the feedback I got from the phone calls. So based on community of interest, I can support map 4, plan 4.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be a little different. I think that's how I started it 2 weeks ago. I'm going to talk about how I arrived where I arrived at Map 3. And, you know, each of us represent a certain constituency, and that's always our primary goal, is to represent the people that put us in office. People in District 2 didn't put me in office, or District 3, or District 4.
I can't hear you back here, Ray.
People in District 5 are the ones who voted me into office. And as such, when I make decisions, my first primary look at an issue is how does it affect my constituents? And then if there aren't serious consequences and something is better for the county, I look at how a decision will affect the county. Because without a county, I have no constituents in a district, to tell you the truth, because it has to function. So with that said, as I looked at the maps, you know, I approached it as I do most things. I can't help it. My professional strengths are always on my sleeve when I'm making decisions, and they always gravitate back toward fire and water and forestry and ag. And it's not that I don't consider the urban issues, I just don't have a lot of them in my district, so that's not my primary go-to for my brain when I'm sifting through complex issues. I got to tell you, I don't want any part of this decision, truthfully. I don't like any of the alternatives. And so, as we look at the street level in some of them, they make absolutely no sense at all. We voiced that concern, but unfortunately, there are things beyond our control that make some of those lines pretty rigid, like tracts. I don't even know what a tract is, but you know, a tract doesn't allow me to like separate out half a timber products log yard from the other half, where the line cuts straight through it. There's nobody voting in the log yard that I know of yet, and no one disenfranchised that they're not represented in the log yard. Some of those things just don't make any sense to me. So I'm unhappy with all of them that way. The other thing I look at too is similarities between communities. Right now, the bulk of my communities have common threats. Fire, forestry, water, and ag. And I'm confounded by Map 2 in that part of South Wairika would be included in my district because we don't share a lot of the same issues. Fire, yes, we do. But it's difficult to start to engage a community when the bulk of the community is a mountain away. And so I don't think Map 2 serves South Wairika very well, and that's why I didn't vote for it. The other thing that comes to mind is that I looked at 3 and 4. If I go back to what affects my constituents more than anything else, I'm settled on Map 3 because I think it does the best job from a countywide basis as well, keeping what I love together, fire districts, agriculture, water, and ag issues. But in politics and in decision making, there's a sense that along political boundaries, people are rigid, and that doesn't work very well at the county level. So, you know, I can live with four. It's not my favorite, because I think it does one thing that bothers me, and that's it does split up, I believe, a bit of the Hammond Fire District.
Absolutely.
And that concerns me a great deal. And I'll tell you why I focus so much on the fire community. I was put in this job by my constituents because of my expertise, particularly in this area. And prior to this job, 20 years of working in this county to pull fire departments together, to work cohesively together across all jurisdictions. I will tell you that personally, I spent with the South Wairika Fire Department and the city of Wairika, I spent a good 10 years of my life trying to pull them together, working with CAL FIRE in a cohesive working relationship on the threats that face Wairika City. And to pull that apart made absolutely no sense at all to me, because quite frankly, some people had to retire to be able to make that happen, even though the threat was there. But it was a task that passionately I couldn't let go of, and couldn't let that dissolve, if you will, into two different supervisory districts. You say fire teams want to work with one district? Well, there was one fire team that wouldn't even let me in the incident command post this summer, so I don't know about that, Nancy. based on the fire districts and what it does from a grant processing standpoint and a cohesive strategy standpoint, that's why I favor Map 3. And it is my preference, although Map 4 is something my fellow supervisors will have to suffer with if they so choose to go that direction. It won't affect my district. So, you want a break before we do something?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yep.
We're going to take 5.